Good evening, Seattle and Little Saigon. Good evening to all the people in Florida. To all you people in Florida, I'm thinking about you. Good evening to the people of Indianapolis, too. I'm thinking about you in Indianapolis, motherfucker. Good evening to the people of Portland, Oregon. Good evening to the people of Los Angeles and San Diego, to the people of Phoenix and beyond. Good evening to all the people in France and Puerto Rico. Good evening to the Germans and the Italians. Good evening to the people of Copenhagen. Yes, you all suck, but good evening. Good evening. It is January the 14th. That is 1-4, January the 14th. It's Tuesday, January the 14th. January the 14th, 2020. This is a headline coming from Zero Hedge, an article published around 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today, Tuesday, January the 14th. Headline reads, "Plane dumps fuel on California school children after emergency U-turn to LAX." A Delta flight from Los Angeles International Airport to Shanghai made an emergency U-turn on Tuesday, dumping fuel on a group of school children as it returned to LAX, according to CBS Los Angeles. The plane departed shortly after 11 a.m. Well, shit, that sounds great. L.A. County firefighters report that students at Park Avenue Elementary School report that 17 children and 9 adults were exposed to an unknown type of fuel and were evaluated by paramedics on the scene. Huh, that's scary. Unknown fuel, fuck. That sounds scientifically space age. So I'll let you read the rest of this shit on your own. I'm not really sure if it's worth going into great depth on this. On the other hand, as if the hand were on the other foot, or the foot were on the other leg. On the other hand, what if, and this is hypothetical, what if this was a geoengineering plane and that fuel, and I use that word sarcastically, what if that fuel was really gumbus and they simply dropped it too low? I've seen the same thing in Seattle. It looks like silly string, that fucking geoengineering shit. At low altitude, it looks like silly string. Now you could say, Dan, you just seeing optical illusions. Well, maybe. Maybe I'm seeing optical illusions. Maybe I'm seeing manifestations of a pathology deep inside my brain. But like I said, today, January the 14th, 2020, a plane dropped shit on Los Angeles County students. If we're to believe the story, it's jet fuel. But do you believe the story, motherfucker? I don't know if I do. Yes, I've truly reached the point of so much distrust vis-a-vis the government that I have a hard time believing any of the fucking shit I hear these days. And I do remember, as I try to tell all of you, being good little Sovietologists, don't ignore the lies. Don't ignore the propaganda. It's useful. Liars have a hard time keeping track of their lies. So don't ignore the lies, because if you can tabulate them in your consciousness, you might not see the truth, but you will see through the bullshit. Supposedly, there is a giant garbage patch in the Pacific Ocean, and arguably a giant garbage patch on every ocean on planet Earth. Supposedly, there is an island of garbage in the Pacific Ocean. An island so big that you could land a helicopter on it. And it's out there. A giant patch of shit. A giant patch of gumbas. A giant patch of plastic. A giant patch of human detritus, the remains of a dying civilization. A giant patch of crap. Can you imagine if people actually built homes on the giant garbage island? Supposedly, in the great Pacific Ocean, there is a giant island of crap, of plastic bags and plastic garbage pails and fishing line and nets and old ships and dead dogs and dead humans. dead dolphins, piles of decaying flesh, birds that are dying or dead on this patch, and there are giant jellyfish in the deoxygenated ocean below the patch. These jellyfish are 17 feet long, maybe 170 feet long in some cases. So if you happen to land on this fucking patch of garbage, be careful. Careful. If you land on this island of garbage, there are colonies of giant jellyfish living underneath it, and if you happen to disturb them, they will pull you down and poison you and slowly consume you as you drown in their protoplasm. As you slowly die. Merry Christmas! Isn't that a great story? No. Yeah, supposedly, giant islands of crap. But imagine, if you will, if you believe in space and all that fucking bullshit, if you believe in the Drake equation that tells us how many civilizations might be out there in the depths of space. If the Drake equation is correct, I am sad to report something. Something that no one wants to talk about. If the Drake equation is correct, what if? What if most of the galaxy, most of the Milky Way, is really just leftover crap from hyperspace starships? They were moving through our quadrants many, many millennia ago, many millions of years ago. They left behind all their shit in the depths of space. They left behind trucker bombs, or their versions of trucker bombs, you know. They weren't into meth, no. They were into Zylornian 78. They were into pumping Grimbic mix into their bloodstream. They were into consuming the ancient elixirs. You have no idea what the space truckers of 5 million years ago consumed. But sadly, we may now know something that's going to potentially shock you. The Earth, the Milky Way galaxy, all the planets and stars here. Everything here is garbage. Everything is garbage. And I haven't even gotten to the good part yet. And here's the good part. Here's the good part, people. Here's the really good part. It turns out that approximately 10 million years ago, the sector known as Barangian 33.6, the sector known as the horrid space of nothing but crapola, it was rezoned. They decided they needed to build a landfill, which in outer space really just looks like, yeah, one of those garbage islands. And they looked at the Milky Way galaxy and they said, you know, they got like a massive black hole at the middle of that shit. Most of the creatures in the Milky Way are gumpus meat and bacteria, little paramecia, stupid little fucking crabs, clever little monkeys with delusions of grandeur, lots of clever monkeys out there. What if we turn the Milky Way into a giant kind of just place where we dump shit? We'll just stick it into the spiral arms of the galaxy. Just drop off our crap because we're so fucking advanced. And so, currently, the solar system, our solar system moves around the spiral edge of the galaxy at 1/1300th, which is almost 1/1000th, if you want to make it simple. We currently move at almost 1/1000th the speed of light around the spiral edge of the galaxy, and we're currently headed at 1/1000th the speed of light, just about right into the largest garbage patch ever created. Most of you won't be aware of this until maybe a few months from now. The government doesn't want to tell you about it because it is literally the great garbage patch. We're talking about cosmic condoms, old beer cans, old beer bottles, old Bellornian reactors and Trimptic ships. Ghosts, so many ghosts from so many dead aliens. They are all in the great galactic garbage patch, and we're heading for it. We're heading right into it. Fuck. And now I'd like to read a little bit of H.P. Lovecraft, if that's okay. Is that okay with everybody? If I pick up a little bit of the H.P. Lovecraft here and start reading it, motherfuckers, okay? This is a reading from At the Mountains of Madness. I mentioned this in a podcast that had to do with podcasting from Antarctica. But anyways, this is a reading from At the Mountains of Madness. And I'm starting in it, so please just keep in mind, this is a scientist talking about his discoveries of the old ones, if you want to know the context. So that's the context. So the narrator is basically a chief scientist. But to give it a name at this stage was mere folly. It looked like a radiate, but was clearly something more. It was partly vegetable, but had 3/4 of the essentials of animal structure. That it was marine in origin, its symmetrical contour and certain other attributes clearly indicated, yet one could not be exact as to the limit of its later adaptations. The wings, after all, held a persistent suggestion of the aerial. How it could have undergone its tremendously complex evolution on a newborn Earth in time to leave prints in Archean rocks was so far beyond conception as to make Lake whimsically recall the primal myths of the great old ones, fuck, who filtered down from the stars and concocted Earth life as a joke or mistake. I'm going to read that again. Lake whimsically recall the primal myths of about the great old ones who filtered down from the stars and concocted Earth life, which includes us, as a joke or mistake. And that's from H.P. Lovecraft, At the Mountains of Madness. And I didn't read the whole paragraph because I want to emphasize this little idea that Lovecraft sticks into our fucking head, that not just were humans created by great old aliens, but that probably we were a fucking joke to them. Just little clever dancing monkeys. We were probably designed to be funny little clever dancing monkeys. Clever monkeys. Yes, part of the storyline at the Mountains of Madness that we're revisiting in this podcast, written again by H.P. Lovecraft, I believe, published in 1933. Part of the storyline here, my fellow Gimbus folk, is that, yeah, you and I, everyone you know, every living thing was created on Earth as a joke. Or at least most of it. Maybe not all of it. Maybe they just monkeyed with whatever crap they found. You know, billions of years ago when they arrived. Oh, here's some shit. I wonder what will happen if I shock this shit. Oh, fuck, I shot the laser at that thing and now it's got arms and legs. Fuck. Why don't we shoot the magical laser at him again? Holy fuck, it looks like a clever monkey. Oh, now the clever monkey's trying to talk like real people. Isn't that fucking funny? Oh, the clever monkey wants to dance. Let the clever monkey dance. Play clever monkey music for the clever monkey. Yeah. I've been in a weird place with my faith in recent weeks and months. If you're a listener, you know this. I try not to do too much stuff that's religious because I know some people that listen have different beliefs. And believe it or not, as big of an asshole as I am, I do try to, like, you know, I try to be understanding. I mean, I have limits. I don't know how understanding I can be about Islam, the religion of peace, because what I can see from Islam right now, the nicest thing I can say about it, is it seems about as evolved as Christianity in the 16th century. And I've told friends of mine, you know what, if the fucking Christians of Europe during the wars of religion, right after our good friend Martin Luther posted those 95 theses, if our good friends, the Protestants and Catholics of Europe in the 16th century had had nuclear weapons, yeah, none of us would be here. These motherfuckers would load up wagons with gunpowder and roll them into each other's churches. So the wars of religion were very brutal. The last one, the 30 Years' War that ended in the middle of the 17th century, in 1648, that war basically led to a 30% reduction in the population of Europe due to disease, due to war, due to all the craziness of a bunch of crazy Germans who weren't really Germans at the time, not yet, and French people and other people fighting each other because everyone's convinced that they knew the real Jesus. If those people in the 16th and 17th century, prior to the Treaty of Westphalia that ended the 30 Years' War, if those people had had nuclear weapons, given their general evolved notions of God, Europe would be a big, yeah, glass parking lot, and probably there would be no life on planet Earth, or at least no human life. It's one of the reasons why, even though I'm not a fan of Islam, I try not to judge too harshly, because if you look at Christians 500 years ago, yeah, we were about the same. We were about as fucking crazy. We were burning witches and cutting off heads and rolling big old wagons filled with dynamite. We were the crazy motherfuckers with the turban, with the little, you know, wick or fucking Yeah, fuse on the end. We were the turbine fuse wearers back then. But that was 5 centuries ago. A while back, just something to think about. Now, I don't know how you feel about God, but the reason why sometimes I read Lovecraft and I wonder about his perspective is because sometimes I think, what if God exists and God is not what I think God is? Like, what if there is a God, but I have been lied to? And it's kind of a terrible thought, really. It is a kind of a weird thought, the thought that can occur to you when your faith is kind of in question, is that, yeah, there's a God, but what if God is really just a big dick? And I know, oh my God, Dan, don't say that shit. Don't tell me you've been pulled down. Yeah, it's a really fucked up thought because, you know, I don't actually believe that. I don't believe I'm being deceived by God. I don't believe that God is, in fact, the Gnostic demiurge. I believe God is, you know, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe these things. But I also believe that I'm imperfect and I fuck up. And one of the ways I fuck up is sometimes, yeah, I allow myself, and maybe this isn't fucking up, this is just me asking questions, but I allow myself to ask the question, what if God is just here to just, you know, either God doesn't care or God just created the whole thing for entertainment? Like, what if God, as we call it, isn't even God? That's essentially the Lovecraftian idea, is that what if there is a God, but God's an alien? And guess what? If you watch the History Channel or you listen to half the people on YouTube who talk about this, all the people on YouTube probably who talk about this, there are a lot of people out there who will say things like, oh yeah, 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 you know, God's an alien, Jesus arrived in a spaceship, Jesus is a gray, Jesus was a gray and he arrived to tell us of the truths of the ancient ones. There are people who believe that. But that's not what Lovecraft is talking about. Lovecraft is talking about aliens so ancient, so powerful. Aliens that are so ancient and so powerful and have been around for so long that they couldn't give a rat's ass about us. Like, these aliens in at the Mountains of Madness are basically dead. The only things still left are the ruins and the Shuggoth monster that the aliens created, the weird amorphous mass that can become anything, kind of like gray goo, if you think about nanotechnology. It is a horrible thought for a Christian to ask, what if there's a God, but God doesn't give a shit? What if there's a God, but God is having fun watching people go through pain? What if there's a God, and God could help, but God doesn't want to? These are really bad questions for people to ask if you're people of faith, and yet I think these questions are inevitable. Because how can you believe in God and not ask the question, why? You know, why did this person who is seemingly a good person get punished in such a way? Why did this happen? It's one thing to talk about human-caused catastrophe, and you know, I gotta say, folks, when it comes to most of the bullshit that's ruining the world right now, most of it is pretty much human-caused bullshit. Like, if human beings simply stopped doing the stupid shit they're doing, life would get better. So, blaming it on God is also very delusional. It's like, you know, accidentally shooting yourself with a gun and saying, "What? You know, look what God did to me." You know, no, God didn't do that to you. Your stupidity did that. And then when it comes to things like cancer, and I have had a couple siblings. I've had one sibling die of cancer, and I've had a mom die of cancer, and a dad, it's hard to say what he really died of. But I've known people die of cancer. People die of cancer. It's something that happens. But when it comes to cancer, I have this question. Is that a God thing, or is that a human thing? Because when I look at the lives we live these days, these lives we live in cities and whatnot, And according to the current data, you know, 8 out of 10 of us, in America at least, 8 out of 10 in the United States, we live in some type of an urban environment. And I think these urban environments, even in the best of times, are a little bit toxic. But really, these days, it feels like you're soaking up the poison all day long. It's just weird. So, yeah, cancer. Can we blame that on God, or is that something we're doing to ourselves? The cancer, the diabetes, the autism, is that something God did, or is that something we've been doing? And that's, again, that's another fair question, because as fair as the question is God an old one, the way that H.P. Lovecraft describes them, and is he aloof, and he doesn't care, and he's just someplace, and if we all died, he wouldn't shed a tear? Maybe. Okay? Maybe. I don't believe that, but that's one way you can look at it. But I will say this, though. When it comes to the shit we do to each other, I don't see how we blame that on God. So if you want to say that maybe God could be cruel, okay. But please take ownership of human cruelty. By all means, if you're going to blame God for stuff, do that. Blame God for whatever you want to blame God for, but be certain that God actually did it to you. Be certain it was an act of God and not just more stupid human bullshit. You know, more giant garbage patches. You know, here's the thing you can kind of meditate on a little bit. I don't know how big the giant Pacific garbage patch is. I was joking about landing helicopters on it. I'm not sure you can. On the other hand, given what I know about humans and their bullshit, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if there is a giant island of garbage out there. And I wouldn't. And here's another thing, too, I'll add. Before all is said and done, no matter what happens with the future, I wouldn't be surprised if that giant island of garbage ends up creating a kind of miniature, fucked up ecosystem. Like, I would not be surprised if some terribly toxic, fucked up ecosystem developed around that fucking island. Now, does that mean it's the kind of ecosystem where nature photographers would want to go and take pictures? I don't know. If you like taking pictures of things that are half lamprey, half rat, oh, let's go take pictures of the lamprey rats of Plastic Island. Just don't get too close to them, okay? Yeah. If you want to take that job as a freelancer for Nat Geo, if you want to go, I'm going on a junket. I'm going on an adventure. I'm going to go film the life, the wildlife of Plastic Island. Just be careful, because Plastic Island will have lamprey rats. Plastic Island will also have probably, I don't know, probably giant jellyfish living underneath it. Plastic Island will probably have wild cats living on it. Fucking cats. Cats will live anywhere, and they'll hunt the lamprey rat, but they'll also form cadres and hunt humans. Those humans who wander onto Plastic Island. Yeah, if you want to talk about things that God does to us, you have to think about Plastic Island. You have to think about the thousands of atomic weapons that the Soviet Union, the United States, the French, and the British set off above ground between 1945 and 1962. And I can keep going. If you're going to talk about fucking God and what he did to you, giving you the diabetes or the cancer or making you overweight, you have to ask yourself, well, what did you do to yourself? I mean, what did you convince yourself was true? You know, we believe that we can use technology to do better with the topsoil of the planet Earth than the planet Earth has done for billions of years. Which means that if we shred the topsoil, if all the topsoil in the Midwest ends up in the Gulf of Mexico, which I'm going to call the Gulf of Poop pretty soon, if all the fucking topsoil, it doesn't matter, Dan, it doesn't matter, because we can pour Glimptus on it, we can pour Tremulex, we don't even need to have soil, it's really just a substrate. You just pour the goop on, the goop grows, you harvest the goop, you eat the goop, you get cancer, fuck it. That's nutty, though. The way we, just think about how we produce food, and then we're convinced, well, it doesn't matter. It's kind of like a Norman Borlaug comes along and says, listen, guys, if you use more, you know, more smart living with good science and engineering, I'll get crop yields up 20 times, man. Maybe 50 times. You'll be surprised by all the extra mouths you'll have to feed in the future. Good old Norman Borlaug. You know, it's funny. Penn and Teller did a bullshit episode on Norman and the Green Revolution back in the early 2000s. And in retrospect, I gotta say, I have mixed feelings about Penn and Teller. I think they did some stuff on the bullshit show that was valid. And I think they did other stuff that was really probably propaganda too. Especially around 9/11. And I would say also the Green Revolution. Because while it is true, Norman Borlaug did help to bring billions of people into planet Earth that probably A, wouldn't have been born, or B, would have starved to death soon after birth, what we don't have now is an exit strategy. Okay, we've got the 7 or 8 billion. Now what, Norman? Except for like all great masters of history, all great Ukrainian, you know, farm managers, like all the people that usually build it and then are away when it blows up, he's dead. So he won't have to see people starving in the streets. He won't have to see people killing each other for a mouth to eat. He won't have to see the fact that we've turned the Gulf of Mexico into a giant fucking toilet bowl. And that is due to the Green Revolution of Norman Borlaug. All you have to do is pour chemicals on the land, a little bit of that Roundup, and you'll get all the fucking sugary corn you need, and yeah, you'll get the diabetes and the cancer and everything else too. Thank you, Norman. See, I don't know anything about Norman's history specifically, but I can tell you the mythology around him probably is created and engineered. The real truth about Norman, we'll probably never know. I think there's a good chance that good old Norman is an old-timey deep state fuck. And convincing people, oh, we have to get the crop yields up. Yeah, you do that. Then what? Then what? You've got 8 billion people. Well, then we go to Mars and we farm on Mars. Okay, but Norman, what if we can't do that? In fact, what's worse, Norman, what if we shred all of the topsoil? What if, by adopting your green revolution, we take about, I don't know, 20 or 30,000 years of topsoil off the Midwest and pump it with chemicals, and then it rolls into the Mississippi, and then it ends up in the Gulf of Mexico, and it's gone. What are you going to do to replace the topsoil? Oh, well, Dan, you know, we can just, okay. What are you going to do, buddy? What are you going to do about the nutrient blooms? The ones in the Gulf of Mexico? Well, it doesn't matter. Okay. Okay, it doesn't matter. The oceans are dying. We're strangling them. I don't know or care if CO2 is the main culprit, because I can promise you, if CO2 were not a culprit, it wouldn't fucking matter. My whole life, we've been pouring poisons, which includes our own poop. Oh, I hate to break it to you, you clever fucking special monkey, you. Your poop, your pee, is toxic. I mean, yeah, in small quantities it might be useful, but in large quantities flowing into rivers and to the ocean, it's called a nutrient bath, and it creates a nutrient bloom, and that deoxygenates, and a deoxygenated ocean is like a poison gas cloud to life. It moves around the ocean, killing everything in its path. And yeah, thank you again, Norman Borlaug. It's so wonderful what we're doing to the oceans because of the Green Revolution. And it's funny, too, that it's called the Green Revolution. Think about that, too. It's almost branded as an environmentally good thing to do. Yes, 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 better science, better living. It doesn't matter. Just get as much food out of that soil as you can, as quickly as you can, because you know they're going to create more soil someplace in space. Maybe on the Great Galactic. Yeah, garbage patch. They'll have little planetoids making soil out of garbage, making organic shit out of space shit. Yeah, we'll harvest the ancient frozen dookies of the aliens. And our lives will improve. Better science, better engineering. It'll be amazing. Yeah, I'm not a big fan. You've heard me talk about Norman before, and I'm not a big fan of the Green Revolution. I think we were sold what is called a bill of goods. We were told that we could have everything we wanted with respect to food production. But what no one wanted to have a conversation about is then what? Because the idea that this could continue forever, no one could have believed that. They couldn't have been that fucking stupid. Not after the Dust Bowl of the 30s. They couldn't have been so stupid to believe that this latest scheme would last, and I quote myself, forever. Okay? There's no such thing. You don't get that. Not in this universe. Okay? Maybe in Eden, you know, Eden, the place we were, the place that we were kicked out of because we fucked up. Maybe in Eden things work in nice magical ways. But here on planet reality, you don't get to do shit like this indefinitely without, you know, consequences, without something happening, without an outcome. So yeah, what if there is an ancient God and God created us as a joke? And what if God is laughing now? Laughing at you, laughing at me, laughing at the pathetic nature of all our schemes. He sits in a palace on high. He smokes a hookah in the sky. There's a Lord in the sky, and he created us using whatever he could find. And we humans were created as a cosmic joke, along with all the other life. one big cosmic joke. You know, you're billions of years old, you get really fucking bored, you created everything, and now you think, what don't I have? I'm a billion years old and I've invented everything. I was here at the beginning, I was a gumpus that crawled out of some ancient sea. I attained universal consciousness in the year 17.5 billion, according to the astral time of the Ancient Ones. Once I attained consciousness, I headed for a planet, a strange planet. You call it Earth, you fuck. I set up a base there at Antarctica, an ancient base of pyramids. Pyramids and laser cannons, battle cruisers and all kinds of replicators, 3D printers making four-dimensional hookers. Yes, we achieved greatness back in the day. Back in the day, we were amazing. But we got really fucking bored. So a friend of mine, Gomuplex, came up to me one day and he said, "Glymph, Glymph, Glymph, are you as bored as I am?" "Well, I am, Gomuplex. I've read all the ancient galactic encyclopedias 3 times. And there's nothing left to learn, so why don't we fuck with nature a little? You see that little thing crawling there? It's a crab-like creature. What if we fucked with it?" "Okay, Glymph. We'll fuck with it." Next topic relates to the smart device. Now, as I've mentioned in many, many podcasts, almost everything in society today is ironically named. For example, you know, and let's remind ourselves, irony is where the actual meaning and the literal meaning are not the same. They're basically opposed. So, for example, Patriot Act is ironic. There is nothing patriotic if you actually believe in the free republic. There is zero patriotic about the Patriot Act. The war on drugs, no. That's ironic too. Definitely the war on terror, total irony. healthcare, one of the most ironic things ever said. But in addition to these, there's a term called smart device. Smart device, yeah, that is irony, folks. Total fucking irony, your smart device. I was thinking about it because I kind of dipped my foot into those waters. I got my first mobile phone, my first cell phone, when I was 31 years old. I was over 30 when I got my first mobile phone, and it was 2001. And then when the first quote-unquote smart devices came out, yeah, I went ahead and got one. It was stupid. I wish I hadn't. I won't even tell you what I bought because it was so shitty. But I got one, and I had mixed feelings. And then I got an Android, and I was like, okay, Androids are fine. Yeah, they're kind of, there's some Linux in there. It's kind of whatever. I wasn't a huge fan of Google ever, but I guess there was a time when Android came out where I thought, well, maybe this is going someplace that isn't so terrible. But what I've discovered about myself vis-a-vis smart devices is that I act a lot like probably a wild animal would if you try to put a collar on them. Like, you can put a collar on a domesticated animal, a cat or a dog. It'll take it. It's part of the plan. You're domesticated. You're a dog. You're a dog. You're a domesticated dog. And you have a fucking collar you wear. And I totally get that. But if you like captured a wolf, a wild wolf, an adult wolf, and you put a collar on it, don't you think it would try to just tear it off? Don't you think it would scramble and try to tear it off? I mean, that's why they tag wild animals. They don't really tag them in a way they can remove it easily. They tag them in ways that the animals just have to deal with it. But, like, yeah, what if you put a collar on a wolf and what would happen? I think the wolf would try to tear it off. Every time somebody tells me, Dan, you need a smart device, and this includes places of work now. Like, one of these days, they're going to tell me in an interview, if you want a job here, well, Dan, if you want a job at Willy Wonka's, our current security model, which uses multi-factor Blumbus, well, you have to have a smart device to do that, which means that you can't have a job here unless you have a smart device. Every time I try to get a smart device, and this is why I'm stuck where I'm at now with a flip phone, because I've tried it, I've given it a chance, I've done it. I just can't deal with it. I know some of you will say, I can't live without my smart device, and I really wish you would meditate on that shit. I really wish you'd ask yourself, how much do you need that device? Do you need it to be around you all the time? Because if you do, then it does seem a lot like a dog collar to me. It does seem a lot like a method of control. And you say, well, Dan, are you saying that if I have a smart device, I'm a slave? Well, no, you were probably a slave already. The smart device simply makes it easier to track your slaves. I mean, that's the thing. These smart devices, they didn't create the slavery. Don't be confused. These things came as a result that the slave masters wanted better control. It's kind of like when people say, what if there's a chip? What if there's a chip? What if there's a chip they make you take and put under your skin? Well, what if I told you that you're already carrying your chip? You're worshiping your chip? You're responding to your chip every time it rings, every time it beeps, every time it vibrates? You and your chip have a fucking relationship already. And you can say, well, Dan, it wasn't injected into me. I don't have to have it on me. Yeah, but then I look at you and how you hold on to that smart device. You grip it with that white-knuckled grip. That fucking white-knuckled, shaky hand grip. Almost like an alcoholic holding on to that last drink. Yeah, go ahead and tell me how it's not something you have to have on you. Really. Tell me about it. Well, I need it for convenience. Yes, yes, yes. And that is also how they make you carry it around. Fear, fear. What if I'm someplace and I need to call the cops? What if I'm someplace and I need to call my mom? What if I'm someplace and I need some help? And that's bullshit too. And I have to say, I got suckered into it. Like, there was a period of time, probably in the late 2000s, early teens, right? There was a brief period of time where I kind of got suckered by this idea that maybe this little device is helpful. Like, maybe people's lives are being improved. But I don't even remotely believe that now. I think even though it might be quote unquote helpful in a way, that's not on purpose for anything to help you. That's just part of the game. But overall, it's about control. It's about knowing what you're doing, knowing where you live, knowing where you went. It's about tracking you. And since the actual hacking exploits are really hardware exploits probably, since it's probably the chipset itself that's compromised, there is nothing you can do about it. Nothing. It's the OS or the chipset. And in either case, unless you're fairly skilled as a computer scientist, you're fucked. I don't care if you think, oh, I have an iPhone and it's encrypted. That's so much bullshit. It's true, you can encrypt the iPhone, but what do you do about the man-in-the-middle hardware exploit? What do you do about the chipset that is reading all the devices on the phone? What do you do about, oh, well, I don't know what to do. I can't, yeah, you can't do anything about that. Also, one of the reasons why phones are kind of like given away in a way. Like, given the material that goes into these things, they should be a lot more expensive, but they're not. And if you say, well, that's just mass production. No, dude, that's a lot of slave labor and crooked contracts. And they kind of give these things away. Well, why? Why do they do it, kind of? Well, they're dog collars. And you're paying for it. All those taxes you pay to fucking use the network, and you should look at your bill sometime. You should ask yourself about all those fucking taxes. Those taxes, you're paying so that they can watch you. You're paying for the person that's listening to your conversation. That's what those taxes are for. If you hand me a smartphone, I feel like a crazy-ass wolf. And you're saying, oh, put on this collar. No. You can put it on me, but I'm going to tear it off as soon as I can. While, you know, you might be away. You might walk around the side of the mountain. I might make sure you're not watching, but when you're not watching, I'm going to tear this fucking thing off. Anywho, I'm going to close out this podcast. I'm going to close out this podcast because I got to go poop. If you enjoy this podcast and you want to donate, there'll be donation links in the description of this podcast, and there are also donation links for Venmo and PayPal on my SoundCloud homepage. So if you enjoy it and you have the money, and only if you have the money, feel free to donate. If you don't have the money, don't do it. Take care of yourself, okay? Food, water, shelter, the people you love, and then and only then, once you've taken care of the things you need to take care of and you have extra money, feel free to donate. But don't do it unless you can. And other than that, have a great Tuesday night. Bye-bye.